Today's daf is Lamed Zayin. We're going to start back for very quickly at the Mishnah on Kaf Chet Amud Aleph at the beginning of the parak. We had Chazkat Batim Barova Shechin and all that. We said it was a machloket, either Chazkata Shalosh Shanim Miyom Liyom, right? And then Estei Abal Chazkata Shalosh Shanim Ve'inam Miyom Liyom. Then we have Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva who said you either have 3 months before, 3 months after, or 1 month before, 1 month after, and a full year in the middle. And then Rabbi Yishmael came and said, Amar Rabbi Yishmael, 3 lines from the bottom of the Mishnah, Bamed Dvarim Amurim B'Stei Lavan. That's when you have a field of wheat or something growing on the ground like that. Aval B'Stei Ilan, but if it's a trees or vineyard type field, Kineset Tvuato, which is not Tvuah, right? We said the Tvuah here, they said, is the grapes. Umasak et Zetav, Kines et Kaitso, that's his dates. Remember, so he does 3 full harvests, which could be within less than a year. Hare Elu Gimel Shanim. Okay, so according to Rabbi Yishmael, when he said you need a full year within a few months on either end, he says that's only in a field of wheat or something that grows on the ground, where there's a harvest once a year. Whereas if you're talking about trees and you have 3 different types and you do 3 different harvests for those types of trees, then it's enough to do the 3 harvests and it's like 3 years. So now we're going to talk about that statement of Rabbi Yishmael. So Amar Abaye. Okay, right? We don't have to reread the Amar Rabbi Yishmael, dot, dot, dot. Okay. Amar Abaye, midi Rabbi Yishmael, nishma l'rabbanan. Now he's going to say we can infer what Rabbi Yishmael says. Obviously, Chachamim disagree with him and don't think that 3 harvests of 3 different items is enough. However, he says, from the fact that they argue about that, but they don't argue about other things, we'll see, we can infer the Chachamim at least agree with him about a different point, which is what? First, we're going to say what Chachamim agree with him about, and then we're going to explain how we know that. Hayulo shloshim ilanot mimata asara lebet se'ah. He has 30 trees in a field or an area where there's 10 trees for every Beit Se'ah. Remember we said that's a particular size of a field. So if there's 10 trees per Beit Se'ah, okay, and then altogether, meaning he basically has 3 Se'ah, right? A Beit Se'ah times 3, 30 trees within that space. Achal asara b'shana zo, v'asara b'shana zo, v'asara b'shana zo, hare zo chazaka. If he eats 10 of the trees 1 year, 10 of the trees in another year, and 10 of the trees in the third year, each year he creates a chazaka. Because what are we going to assume here? Lav mi amar Rabbi Yishmael, chab pere havi chazaka, lekulu pere hachanami, how do we do this? Mi amar Rabbi Yishmael, chab pere havi chazaka, lekulu, right? One fruit can create a chazaka for all of them, right? Lekulu peri. For all, remember we said, if masaket zeitav, or right, that counts. Remember, you need 3 cycles. So if he did the zeitim, the anavim, and the tmarim, 3 different things, we now have 3 full ones, even though each time he didn't harvest the other. Okay? So hachanami, hane hava chazaka lahane, vahane hava chazaka lahane. Okay, so now what are we going to say? Likewise, we can assume that what did Chachamim disagree with? That you didn't have 3 full harvest seasons. But they wouldn't disagree that one can count for the other. In other words, if you have, as long as you have 3 full harvest seasons, right, like in the tree, in this case with the 30 trees, so there's 3 harvest seasons. And as, right, remember, Rabbi Yishmael says 1 harvest season for each. That's sufficient. We don't need 3 harvest seasons for each. But now we're saying, but Chachamim would agree that if there were 3 separate harvest seasons for all the trees, but you only picked some, that would be okay. Because look at the case of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael said, as long as you took the Zeitim, that counted for everything else. That was a full cycle. So we're going to assume the Chachamim at least agree with him on that. And therefore, again, the 30 trees. Now there's a whole thing. What if, so some of the Mefreshim say, it has to be, what's the size here? It has to be 30 within the 3 Beit Se'ah. What if it's more crowded? Or what if it's less crowded? So most of the Mefreshim assume it has to be, some of them say it has to be exactly this amount, which is kind of rare that you're going to have an exact formation. Although it's quite likely, I think the assumption about this formation is that that's the healthiest way for trees to grow, right? That they're if they're too spread out, then maybe it's okay for the trees, but we're not going to consider this all one field. If they're so spread out and you only eat some of the trees, then we're not going to assume that you have chazaka on all of them, because you can assume that maybe these are separate field areas. If they're so close, then it's not healthy for the trees. And then you're going to have to uproot some of them. We're already not going to view it as that you have chazaka, and we'll talk about that later, about the crowded area. So now we're going to modify this by, we're going to say there's two conditions to allow this to be true, okay? That basically you have this size, and you can assume that if you didn't eat all of them, or you didn't, not necessarily eat, right? We keep using the word eat, but eat doesn't mean eat. Eat means profit from them. If you didn't profit from, let's say you only profited from a third of the trees, so you create a chazak on all of them. But we're going to now have two very important conditions. Hani mile hecha delo afiku. Well, now, all of a sudden, we have to re-look at this case. What the Gemara is saying now is, the case is, where only 10 trees produce fruits. If all 30 trees produce fruits, and you only took 10 of them, well, then obviously, you're not showing ownership over the whole field, because why wouldn't you be dealing with the rest of the trees? So therefore, the assumption is like this. If one year, 10 trees produce fruits, and another year, a different 10 trees produce fruits, and another year, a different 10 trees produce fruits, then you can create a chazaka by just picking from, by just profiting from those 10. But if they all produce fruits, and each year you only took from 10 of them, then you're not showing ownership. Second case, or second condition, I should say. It's a funny term. V'hu de baze bazuze. Okay. What does this mean, baze bazuze? It's that they're scattered throughout. If you took, let's say, okay, probably you envisioned it not like this, right? Because if we say 10, 10, and 10, it sounds like, okay, one year you took this third of the field, and the other year you took this third of the field, and the other year you took that third. That doesn't work, because again, then it doesn't show ownership. You're only taking over one area. So it has to be that there were 10 trees scattered throughout the entire field. Otherwise, you're not showing ownership over a separate area. We could assume that maybe just this area was yours or just this area was yours. And therefore, it has to be, number one, that only some of them produced fruits, and that the ones that produced fruits were scattered throughout. So already this case is becoming much more narrow than it looked like in the first place. And remember, the point is that even Chachamim would agree that this is okay. Because again, we're talking about, right, not three different fruits, different harvests within one year, but we're talking about three different entire full harvest seasons for each of these things. And we're basically 3 years here. We're going to have the 3 years, and therefore Chachamim would agree. And they would agree, though, that you don't need to necessarily eat from the entire field each year. Okay, new case. Zehchzik be'ilanot v'zehchzik be'karka. Okay, the assumption here is that we're not talking about chazaka of shalosh shanim here, because it's a very weird case it would be if you'd say he had a chazaka on the trees and he had a chazaka on the land. So the Rashbam explains, if you look in the Rashbam for a minute, he says, shnei lekuchot, okay, it's zechzik bilenov, zechzik bekarka, it's about 8 lines from where the lines get wide, or 7 lines in the Rashbam, right, which is where Rashi is. Shnei lekuchot shalachus zedei ilan me'adam echa biyachad. That's the assumption. Two people bought land, the same piece of land. One bought the trees and one bought the land. So now we're going to have a whole debate. Okay, we're going to talk about different cases where somebody has access to the trees, rights to the trees. Does he have rights to the land underneath the trees or not? When someone sells, right, he sells, let's say, Judy the land and Naomi the trees. So does Naomi have rights to the land under the trees? What's the most important relevance of this? If the tree goes bad, and the tree gets cut down, and you have to cut down because the tree gets sick, is Naomi allowed to plant a new tree? Or does Judy say, hey, that's my land, right? Or even more so, can Judy say, it's nice you own this tree, but it's in my property, I'm cutting it down, and, you know, goodbye to you. Well, so
if the fruits fall on my land, is it?
Yeah, that's a good question. If the fruits fall on your land, then they fell into your land, and they should be in your property. But I think in that case, since Naomi bought rights to the fruits, I got to imagine that she would have rights to the fruits anyway, even though it is a good question, because we saw about DNA, right? If things fall into someone's property, it's a good question, but I don't think that that's a debate here. So zechzik bilanov, zechzik bakarka. Again, two people bought. One bought the trees, one bought the land. Amar Rav Zvid, so now you're going to have to remember, there's a basic machlok of Rav Zvid and Rav Papa here. We're going to go to a different case and then come back to Rav Zvid and Rav Papa. So Amar Rav Zvid, zekana ilanot, v'zekana karka. Okay, Rav Zvid says, Judy, you have the land, and Naomi, you have the trees. And nobody gets anything of anyone else's. Matkifla Rav Papa, im kain, ein lo lebali lanot bekarka klum. If you're going to say that Naomi has absolutely no rights to the land, lema lebal karka lebali lanot, akori lancha, shkol vazil. Like I said before, Judy can say to Naomi, guess what? Take out your trees, take them and leave. Take your trees out of here, basically. Uproot them, go plant them somewhere else. They're in my land. So El Amar Rav Papa, so Rav Papa disagrees with Rav Zvid and says, Ze kana ilano b'chatzi karka, v'ze kana chatzi karka. Okay, what does this mean, chatzi karka? Okay, so let's just explain very simply, and then I'll give you a number of different mefarshim how they explain this. Ze kana ilano b'chatzi karka, so Naomi gets the trees and half the land. Okay, I'm specifically not explaining it very well yet. And Judy gets half the land. What does this mean? Half the land. Half of the entire plot of land? How did Naomi, all of a sudden, just because she got trees, she has rights to half of the land that was sold? So the Rambam actually understands this literally and says, yes, Naomi gained rights to half the land, okay, which is quite interesting.
The half around the tree?
No. Just half of the entire property, whatever was sold. Because trees, I guess the assumption is that this is an extreme opinion, okay? I don't think it's the basic opinion at all, but I wanted to just kind of throw it out there that there is someone who says this. He understands chatzi karka very literally. Since Naomi has rights to the trees, so that gives her rights to part of this field. Because when you sell someone the field for the trees, so that you sell them part of the field. So she gets half the field. Other people
Maybe
say no. It could mean
10 trees per se'ah calculation, and it's very specific.
Well, it depends how, right. So you're saying,
then,
right, if you had 10 trees per se'ah, then that would basically give you half the land.
Yeah.
Right, it's possible. The other option is to say that it means half the land, meaning not really half. It means Naomi gets part of the land, which is the part of the land right around the tree. Or the part of the land around the tree gets split in half. Naomi gets just a little bit of it, and Judy gets more of it. There's all different options about how to exactly explain this chatzi karka. It's a good example of where chatzi doesn't always mean half, right? Chatzi doesn't always mean half. It sometimes means a part. Okay. Pshita machar karka v'shier ilanot. Okay. Now, that was a case of one person, let's say me, selling to the two of you all of my land. Now, what if, it's going to be different from a case, where what if I sell you the fruits of the trees of my own, right? I sell you the trees, of my property, okay? But I keep the rest of the property for myself. Now, will there be a difference in terms of what the assumption is that I sold you or not? This relates to a different machloket that we're going to see later on in the Masechet that I'm pretty sure we made reference to earlier, but we'll see. Pshita machar karka v'shier ilanot lefanav, yesh lo karka. It's clear that if I sell you land and... Oh, sorry, it's the opposite. I said the wrong case. I sell you the land, but I leave over trees for myself. Sorry, I meant the opposite case. I sell you all my land, but I say I'm keeping my trees. Okay, I don't want to part with my trees. I like my fruit trees. I'm going to keep them. So obviously, yesh lo karka. I obviously didn't sell you the land that the trees are on. Because, right, how could I possibly do that? Now, we're going to see, though, that maybe there was a thought that I would. And why is that? V'afilu l'Rabbi Akiva da'amar mocher ba'ayin yafeh mocher. Okay, this is sugya that comes up, you can see from the Masoret HaShas and Samach Dalet Amabet, Samach Amabet, Ayin Aleph, Ayin Bet, and Pei Bet Amabet. We'll see this a whole bunch of times. This is a case where if somebody sells a boar or a dut, a pit or a cistern within his property, I sell my property, but I leave over, I say, I want to keep my pit or my cistern. That's in my property. So there's a machloket. How do I get to my, if I leave it in my property, I need a path to get there, right? The assumption is it's not on the edge of my property that I can get to from the outside. So I need a path to get to. So there's a machloket, Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim. I think it's Chachamim, from what I recall. We'll see in a minute, but it must be Chachamim. Yeah. Machloket about them, when I sell, am I mocher ba'ayin yafeh or mocher ba'ayin ra'ah? Which means what? When I sold it to you, if I sell ba'ayin ra'ah, it means that I didn't really sell you everything. I obviously left myself a path to get to my pit or my cistern. That would be ba'ayin ra, meaning I didn't sell it fully. I sold you my land, but obviously, why would I not allow myself access to get to the items that I didn't sell within my property? And Rabbi Akiva says, no, mocher, you know, someone who sells is ba'ayin yafa mocher. He's going to sell with a good eye, meaning I'm going to sell you everything. So if I want to get to my bor or my dut, then what am I going to do? I'm going to have to actually pay for rights to get through your land. So I actually have to pay for rights. It's crazy shita, right? To think that I would sell you something knowing that I'm going to have to pay. But that's what Rabbi Akiva holds. He holds someone who sells mocher ba'ayin yafa. So if that's the case, what do you think he's going to say in our case? Well, if I sold you ilanot, right? I'm sorry, I sold you, I don't know why I keep confusing this. I sold you the land, but I kept the trees. So now, if we say mocher ba'ayin yafa mocher, then what are we going to say? Well, then I must have sold you the karka underneath. But the Gemara is going to say no. Because even Rabbi Akiva, who says, okay, afilu Rabbi Akiva da'amar, in the boor and the cistern case, mocher ba'ayin yafa mocher, okay, the way you read it, by the way, is mocher first is the noun. It's the seller. Ba'ayin yafa mocher, sells. It's the verb, right? The first mocher is the noun, and the second is the verb. Hanemile l'gabei bor vedut, delo mikcheshu ba'ara. That's in a case where he leaves himself a pit or a cistern. Delo machshu ba'ara, because they don't make the land any worse. They don't weaken the land. Aval ilanot, dekamachshe ba'ara, shiyure shir. But what's going to happen with the trees? If I leave my trees in your property, the trees obviously take nourishment from the land. If they take nourishment from their land, what are they going to do to your property? They're going to weaken your soil, right? They're going to take away the nutrients. So what's the relevance of that? Obviously, since they're going to weaken your soil, when I sold it to you, what was my intent? To keep that land around it. Why? Shiure shier. I'm going to keep that land. Why? Di'ilo shier. What's going to happen? If not, since it's bad for you to have the trees in your property, what are you going to say to me eventually? Lemalea kor ilan. I think it should be ilan cha, right? Akor ilan cha shkol vizil. Right? So basically, you'll end up saying to me, uproot your trees and get out of here because it's ruining my land. So obviously, now, what rights do I have if you tell me that? If I don't have any of the land, then I've got zero rights. And you can actually say that to me. If I own the land underneath, then you have no rights to do that. So therefore, it's different from the case of the Bor Vedut, which don't have any negative effects on your land, on your property. Because there's no incentive. But here, the incentive is that you might kick me out entirely. And therefore, I'm obviously going to keep the land. What if, yeah.
The opposite, that the tree would help the land because it would hold the land there as opposed to being blown away.
Blown away.
For erosion, it wouldn't erode because the tree would hold the land.
Could be. Okay, right. They don't view it in that perspective. Machar ilanot v'shier karka lefanav. What if he sells trees and he leaves over land for himself? So, right, you know, I just sold someone rights to my trees. Plugta de Rabbi Akiva v'Rabbanan. So then it becomes a machloka Rabbi Akiva v'Rabbanan. To Rabbi Akiva, l'Rabbi Akiva da'amar mocher ba'ayin yafeh mocher, itle, right? So if we're going to assume he's mocher ba'ayin yafeh, so then when he sells him the trees, we're going to assume that he sold the land underneath. And l'Rabbanan, leitle, but to the rabbis who say mocher ba'ayin ra'a mocher, then he's not going to have the land underneath. Okay, we're going to assume that he sold him ba'ayin ra'ah, meaning if he sold him the trees, he only sold him the trees and he didn't sell him the land underneath. L'Rabbi Akiva itle, so now we're going to compare back. Okay, so remember, where are we? We're at the case where I own the property and I sell you a part of it, right? I sell you just my trees. Now we're going to compare this to the machloke previously, okay, I told you have to remember, between Rav Zvid and Rav Papa about when I sold all of my land, part to, right, trees to one, land to the other. In that case, remember what they said. So Rav Zvid said, Zekanai lenova zekana karka. Everybody gets just what they sold, what they were sold. And Rav Papa says, no, there's no way that would happen because otherwise the tree person would get totally kicked off the land. And therefore, zekanai lenova chatzi karka, zekanai lenova chatzi karka. So now we're going to connect these two machlokot and say that they're different. Vafilu l'Rav Zvi de'amar ein lo. Even according, I have to start from the Rabbi Akiva. L'Rabbi Akiva itle. We're now going to explain both Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim according to both Shitot of Rav Zvi and Rav Papa. We're going to say these two cases are not comparable in either direction. What do we say? According to Rabbi Akiva, if I sold you the trees, I sold you the karka also, because I'm mocher ba'ayin yafeh. Vafilu l'Rav Zvi de'amar ein lo. Remember, Rav Zvi said, if I just sold Naomi the trees, she only gets the trees, she doesn't get the land. Okay? Rav Zvi would still agree with me that in the case where I was the seller and I was only selling the trees, I wasn't selling everything, would still, you would get the land. Why? So afilu Rav Zvi de'amar ein lo, hanemile gabeshne lekuchot. It's only ein lo, only works when there's two lekuchot. Why? De'amar le, ki hecha ledidi lately be'ilanot, ledidach nami le lecha bekarka. Aval hacha mocher ba'ayin yafeh mocher. So what would we say here? Rav Zvi would say like this. Naomi and Judy can argue between the two of them. Judy could say, listen, I only got the land, so therefore, right, I didn't get the trees. Just like I didn't get the trees, Naomi, you don't get the land. Okay? Very simply. But when I sold to one person the trees, then there's no such argument to be making because I didn't sell all of it. So then we could say, well, look, I sold ba'ayin yafeh because that's Rabbi Akiva's shita, right? He holds that, so therefore he'll hold it here too. Aval l'rabanan, so now we're going to see Rabbanan and explain Rabbanan according to Rav Papa. L'rabanan leitle, remember, according to Rabbanan, if I sell my tree, I'm mocher ba'ayin ra'ah, I'm only selling you my tree, I'm not selling you the land around. And afilu l'Rav Papa, but in the case of two lekuchot, we would agree that I would sell you the land underneath. Why? Da'amar, this is where they do those logical arguments that you can make in either direction, right? Da'amar yeshlo, right? Even Rav Papa, who says you get the chatzi karka, that's only hanemile gabeshne lekuchot. Da'amar le, kihecha de lididach zavim ba'ayin yafeh, lididinam zavim ba'ayin yafeh. Aval hacha mocher ba'ayin ra'am mocher. There's obviously a difference. If I'm selling all my property, well then obviously I could be mocher ba'ayin yafeh because I'm selling it all. It doesn't matter to me who gets what. So Naomi, you get the trees. You could say just like Judy, you got all the land. Well, and you got mocher ba'ayin yafeh. So I also can say that I was sold ba'ayin yafeh and I got the land underneath my trees. But when it comes to me selling and keeping something for myself, we could say I'm mocher ba'ayin ra'ah because I want to reserve all the rights to myself as much as I can. I'm willing to sell you the fruits, but I'm not willing to sell you anymore because that's Rabbanan Shita, that a mocher will be mocher ba'ayin ra'ah. Okay, so therefore, we basically show that these two machlokot don't connect with each other. They're two very different cases. Because my intentions when I sell a tree on my property or I sell my land and keep my trees is going to be different from if I sell everything to two people, okay, in either direction. Amrei Nehardea, achalan ritzufin ein lo chazaka. Okay, ritzufin here means very crowded. So do we get to the crowded case? So in Nehardea they say, if you eat a field that's very, very crowded, ein lo chazaka. Why is there no chazaka here? Because the assumption is, if it's a very overcrowded area, then people, generally what's going to happen, they're going to have to uproot the trees because it's not healthy for the trees. So therefore, the owner isn't going to protest because it's a area that's going to end up, most of the trees are going to be uprooted anyway, or a lot of them. Matkef la rava, ela me'ata, hay mishra das fasta b'may kanele. So now he says, but wait a minute, according to what you're saying, if you have a field of asfasta, okay, so I translate it as alfalfa, is that how they translate it here? They don't translate it. Okay. So in the Quran, they translate it as alfalfa. But this asfasta we saw, this is the stuff that the animals would eat. And if you remember, every month it produced, and it would obviously grow very crowded. So he's saying, we know, by the way, that you can have a chazaka on it, because we talked about having a chazaka on it. So he says, if you're talking about overcrowded space, well, this is clearly overcrowded, and how could you ever have a kinyan on it? So, Ella, Kenyan Chazaka. Ella Amarava, Micharan Ritzufin, Ein Lo Karka. So now he says, what does this mean? It means that if you sold it, and as Rav is reinterpreting what Nehardea said, he said, what Nehardea is saying is, if you sell a field that's very crowded, right? You sell the, I guess, I assume, talking about the produce, right? Then, and let's say you have these trees that are in a very crowded space. Then, like we said before, you get the karka underneath. In this case, you don't get the karka underneath, okay? Because there, again, these trees are going to end up being uprooted, and then you don't have rights to the karka underneath because the owner never intended that these trees would actually stay for the long term. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Kitanai. So now Rabbi Zeira says, this machloket is a machloket tanaim. What's the machloket tanaim here? Kerem shehu natua, apacho me'arba amot. If you, okay, there's different laws about a vineyard. Okay, if you have a vineyard with two rows, then the, okay, if you have just, let's say, a few grapes planted, so the dinim of, let's say, kilayim are that you have to distance it six tefachim away. In other words, if you want to plant wheat, let's say. So if you want to plant wheat, they have to be a distance of six tefachim. But if already you have a row of two rows of a vineyard, then the distance, I believe, is four amot away. Right? Let me just double check. Right, when there's a, actually, I'm not sure it's two, but there's a certain
four
amount.
Four mot between rows.
What?
Four mot between rows, but once it's...
When there's four
mot
between rows,
there's three.
Then you need...
Instead of the usual...
Here it is. You need lefachot. You need two rows of kfanim, where there's four amot in between each row. Okay, that's the amount of space you need for things to grow. And then... then you would need... The question is, how much space would you need? But when there's then you can't plant anywhere in that area. Okay, then it's not a matter of a distance. It's saying that where these two rows are, this area is designated as a kerem, and you can't plant any wheat anywhere or any other item anywhere within the whole space of the kerem. So the debate here is, how much space do you need between rows in order for it to be considered a kerem for these purposes? Okay, there's also relevance for it to be a kerem. I have to remember, there's other... that's the issue of kilayim. That's exactly what I was talking about, that you can't plant the tefuah nearby because it'll be kilayim. So again, if it's not this amount, right, and it's much more crowded in and not two rows with this distance, then already we're going to say this isn't viewed as a vineyard, and you just have to distance it six tefachim away, you can already plant something. Once it has a particular distance and it's two rows, then already we designate the whole area as a kerem, and you can't have anything planted anywhere near them. So kerem shehu natua al pacho me'arba amot, it's within four amot from each other. Then Rabbi Shimon omer, eino kerem, this doesn't have a din of kerem. V'chachamim omrim, harei zo kerem, v'ro'im et ha'emtzayim ki'ilu einam. This is considered a kerem, and we view... What do we say? If it's so crowded, we just imagine, okay, this is probably the way, this is how I view the fruit trees. Can't you just imagine that a few of them just aren't there and then you have this, you know, 10 within a Beit Se'ah, right? In other words, you just, if they're so crowded in, you just pretend that those aren't there and then you still have a kerem, basically. And that's the machloket here. Do we say that achlam ritzufin ein lo chazakah, or Rava says, no. Obviously, you can have a chazakah, because just because they're ratzuf, you can just imagine that the ones that are crowded in aren't there, and then you view it as if it's a regular field. So there's a machloket about how do we view, because especially, you can understand this last shita, because if the whole premise is that we don't view this as a chazakah, because the assumption is that part of these things will be uprooted, because it's not healthy for the trees, so fine. So imagine a bunch of them are uprooted, but you still have all the other trees that are going to stay and remain. So therefore, that explains the second shita, where we're going to still view it as a kerem. We're just going to imagine as if the emtzayim aren't there. Okay, and there was one other, I just want to remember, there was another nafkamina for it being a kerem. It's eluding me right now. Let me just see if the Rashbam quotes it. One second. Oh, right. That was the other one. I just remembered. In the halachot of going out to war, it says someone who nata kerem below chililo gets to stay home from war for the first year. So whether you call this a kerem or not, will have ramifications on that halacha also. And it's not just for kilayim, but it's an interesting one, right? You could say, oh, I built a kerem. And according to Rabbi Shimon, oh, that's not a kerem, so you have to go out to war. So it's interesting, right? Whether you define this as a karam or not might have effects on other halakhot as well. Okay, we'll stop here for today.
This is all about using the agriculture. So let's say I go and squat on a field, in a field, and I don't pick the fruit or do anything. I go out to live in an agricultural field, and I don't even pay attention to the fruits around me or the trees that I'm there for 3 years.
So I don't think that that's... I think it's only profiting from it because you're not a threat to the owner. He can always just... You know, the fact that he didn't protest, it didn't really bother him that you were sitting in his field. I don't think you have a chazaka. If it's a house, it's a different story. But if it's a field, then you have to actually, I think, that you would have to eat profit from the produce. That's what we said. If he profits from 10 trees, he doesn't profit from 20 of them, well then, the owner doesn't care so much because he's only using some of his stuff. So I would imagine, all the more so, if you don't profit at all, that we would assume that that would be the case.